Today's edition of the Daily Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is full spectrum CBD? Full spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than full spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, full spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's a Daily Daily Caller podcast for the 10th day of March 2020. I am Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to it. It's mini super, not so super, but still quite good Tuesday edition of the Daily Daily Caller podcast. Yes, Democrats are voting in a bunch of states today, which means we'll know more tomorrow, whether or not, well, actually tonight, whether or not Bernie Sanders is still alive or if he's just going through the motions. We'll get to that in a bit. Welcome to the show. You can email me, Derek at dailycaller.com, if you want to win a signed copy of Matt Walsh's book, Church of Cowards. You email me, Derek at dailycaller.com, and let me know, and I will put your name on the list. Yes, the list. If you want to complain, whatever you want, that's the email address that you got to send it to as well. And the Patreon account, if you want to throw a couple of bucks, is the toilet paper budget, as there's a shortage. We don't have a shortage here in the house. I don't need your toilet paper budget. But just a joke. The Patreon is patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. Appreciate every single one of you on there. It helps out immeasurably, because this is basically volunteer work. So thank you for that. We've got a lot of stuff to get to. We do have the Democrats voting. We, of course, have coronavirus updates. We have the stock market tanking. Can't say collapse, but that's the word that's being used. It's not a collapse. But still, it is paranoia reigning the day. Also, oil prices have gone down significantly, so that should help everybody at the pump. That'll be nice. Won't that be nice? But we'll get to all of that and more as the show progresses. But first, let's talk about Ancient Life Oil and CBD oil. I have been taking this stuff for a few months now, and it really makes a big difference. By the end of the day, I normally have massive eye strain from working and staring at computers and writing and things like that. Not anymore. Thanks to Ancient Life Oil, the CBD oil that they have there. You heard a lot about CBD oil. Search for yourself. See what people are seeing about CBD oil. Talk to your friends and family. See if anybody you know is taking CBD oil. I bet there are. And then see what they say. Then when you decide, you know what, I got some aches and pains, I got some stress, then you go to ancientlifeoil.com, because you don't want to buy that gas station garbage or whatever else they're selling. We don't know what it is. Ancientlifeoil.com is 100% organic CBD oil. It's the best that you can get. And if you enter promo code Derek, my name, D-E-R-E-K, at checkout, click apply, you get special discounts. So you can't beat any of that. They have all sorts of great products for your health up there at ancientlifeoil.com, all one word, ancientlifeoil.com. You support them because they deserve it. They make some great products. That supports the show when you use promo code Derek. Plus, you get savings yourself. It's win, win, win. It's a circle of winning. Join the circle of winning, won't you? So let's get on to it. Go to ancientlifeoil.com and get some great stuff there. Check out CBD oil for yourself and use the best. Okay, so where to begin? The stock market. Let's talk about the stock market, shall we? The stock market tanked today, down significantly, and they had to halt trading. It got so bad, it was just collapsing. It was the most collapse since it was down 2,000 points. The S&P 500 dropped more than 7%. In fact, CNBC has the story. The Dow Jones Industrial Average sank more than 2,000 points on Monday, its worst day since 2008, as fears about the spread of the new coronavirus and an oil price war sent investors scrambling out of stocks. See, there are two things there. It's not just coronavirus. The Dow dropped 2,013.7 points, or 7.79%, as Boeing, Apple, Goldman Sachs, and Caterpillar caterpillar, cut the index by at least 100 points each. The Dow ended the day at 23,851, representing the single worst day since October 15th, 2008, when it fell 7.87%. Now, isn't that interesting? What was going on in 2008? It was the housing crisis. We've been through this before. This ain't our first rodeo on economic hiccups. So if you're in the stock market and you're selling now, when the stock market rebounds, because the stock market always rebounds, you're not really going to have anybody but yourself to blame. You know, try to get, I know what goes on. I understand the panic. And you go, oh my God, my stocks are dropping significantly. I've got to get out of there so I have some of this profit that I've made over the last few years. Yeah, I get it. But when you go back, you're going to have to pay more again. I don't know. If you know what you're doing, that's fine. It just seems like I look at the stock market as the long con, not the short con. If you're a day trader, that's a completely different thing. But if you're in it for your retirement and you're not retiring today, you don't need to worry about the stock market today. You can stare at it. You can look at it. It's interesting. But remember all that joy you felt as the Dow went from 15,000 to about 30,000? Remember all that wonderful thing? You're giving that up if you panic. Do what you're going to do. But just do it from a point of logic and not an emotional roller coaster point. That's all I'm saying. But it was also the oil wars between Russia and Saudi Arabia that impacted this. There could actually be repercussions. The U.S. oil is now so cheap that it's almost not profitable for the United States to mine for oil. To be honest, we are the world's oil exporter. We are the world's largest oil exporter. We've been doing great in that front. Now that it might cost more compared to what you can get for a barrel of oil to take it out of the ground, I wonder if this will work, how long this will last. This is Saudi Arabia manipulating the market. Personally, I don't necessarily have a big problem with this in that this hurts Russia more than anything else. Russia's, almost the entirety of Russia's economy, certainly the majority of Russia's economy is dependent upon oil exports. The more that oil costs, the better Vladimir Putin does. So the cheaper that oil is, the worse Vladimir Putin does. See, because they have to pay to get the oil out of the ground just like we do here in the United States. I don't want to see Americans suffer, but there is a silver lining to this. And it's also that Americans get to pay less at the pump, which is also a good thing. Leftists, by the way, hate this because they want Americans to pay more at the pump. They want to tax the hell out of the oil and the gasoline. They want more of your money is what they want. And they say they're doing it in the name of the planet, but everything comes with extra money in their pocket. So just keep that in mind. This is the stock market is the long con, if you will. So if you're going to act, act from a rational point of view. I don't care what you do, as long as you do it rationally. Speaking of rationalization, over in Israel, this is, as far as I can tell, the most extreme immigration policy. But I wouldn't be surprised to see, this is, if to the extent that there is tourism in Israel, whatever that is, I have no idea. I know there's some. But to the extent that there is any, it's going to be decimated. Now, the Jerusalem Post has the story. This is amazing, by the way. All people entering Israel from abroad will be required to spend 14 days in home isolation, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said on Monday. The measure became effective at 8 p.m. Monday night. Quote, after a day of complex discussions, we have made a decision. Whoever arrives in Israel from abroad will enter quarantine for 14 days, Netanyahu said in a video statement Monday, as 50 Israelis were diagnosed with coronavirus. Quote, this is a difficult decision, but it is essential to maintain public health, which takes precedence over everything. The message came less than an hour after Israel's health minister announced that three more people were diagnosed with coronavirus, patients number 40, 41, and 42. It also came 2 hours before patients 43 through 50 were announced. Imagine that. If you planned on going to Israel, and I know there are probably some of you listening, or certainly some of you with family members or friends, who'd planned on going to Israel at some point this summer, because people go to Israel. There's all sorts of, I mean, if you want to talk history, there's very few places that have longer history than that area of the world, in particular Israel and Jerusalem, if you happen to be a Christian. Well, now your vacation, your two-week vacation to Israel is shot. You have to have a two-week vacation from your vacation to be able to have your vacation. 14 days in self-quarantine, in quarantine. That is, that's a death knell to the tourism industry. So if you have those tickets, if you planned on going to Israel this summer with your family or with some friends or with a group or whatever, you need to look into getting a refund at this point, I think. That's unless you've got a month to take a vacation, a month to take a 2 week to 10 day vacation. Most people, what do you say? Most vacations are 7 days, maybe a 10 day vacation. Every once in a while, somebody gets 2 weeks that they spend. Well, you can't do that in Israel. And this is just the beginning. I suspect this will become more of the norm, not necessarily the norm, but more of the norm than it has been before. This is unprecedented. 2 weeks in isolation. Now, Italy as well is putting on restrictions on their people. The Associated Press. The battle to halt coronavirus brought sweeping new restrictions Monday, with Italy expanding a travel ban to the entire country. The entire country in Israel. Travel ban. That is amazing. Quote, there won't be just a red zone, Italian Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte said in announcing the lockdown covering about 16 million people in the north would expand, announcing that the lockdown covering 16 million people in the north would expand the entire country starting Tuesday. Italian doctors celebrated one small victory after the first patient diagnosed with the illness, a 38-year-old Unilever worker, I think that's right, was moved out of intensive care and began breathing on his own. But the virus's rapid spread was forcing them to operate like wartime medics, triaging patients to decide who gets access to scarce ICU beds. Quote, unfortunately, we're only at the beginning, said Dr. Massimo Galli, head of infectious diseases at Milan's Sacco Hospital. Travelers at Milan's main train station had to sign police forms self-certifying that they are traveling for, quote, proven work needs, end quote. Situations of necessity, health reasons, or to return home. Ski lifts were ordered to close after students whose classes were canceled began organizing trips to winter resorts. Italy is in a mess. Italy is a, and we've got what, you sit here and you hear about Italy. What about the United States? We've got spring break coming up. Spring break is huge, huge for parts of Florida, parts of Texas, parts of Mexico, where thousands, tens, hundreds, if not millions of students go down there to get hammered and get laid. I wonder, it's going to be an interesting time here as to whether or not people are still going to go through with their spring break plans. I was never a big spring breaker. I never understood it. I didn't need to go someplace to get drunk. I'm not a sun worshiper. I don't particularly care for the oppressive heat. But it is curious, and it will be interesting to see what happens to the United States, particularly Florida. It's a very DC douchey thing to do, probably, but I went golfing yesterday after my radio show with Brian Darling, who I think I mentioned this on the show yesterday. With Brian Darling, who was a frequent guest on this program, we went and shot nine. I actually won for the, I beat him by 3 strokes for the first time ever. We've tied before, but I've never beat him. He usually beats me by at most three strokes. This time it was nice. My game was working. His game was not. And he told me that he was thinking, like, the family trip this summer was to Disneyland. They were World, whichever one's in Florida. I think it's World. That they were going to go to Florida. They were going to go check out Disney and all that. And now that's probably on hold. And I said to him, you could probably get a hell of a deal on it. Like, if you're in the travel business and the honey badger don't give an F attitude, this is your heyday. This is your glory time. You can just about write your own ticket. You could probably fly first class to anywhere in the world pretty cheaply, to be honest with you, relative to what it normally costs, if you're willing to take the risk. I don't know if you're willing to take the risk. That's up to you. But a lot of people, Brian has three kids, he doesn't want to risk it, even though it would probably be fine. And there are people traveling every single day. But it's an interesting time, to say the least. Just out of morbid curiosity, because Brian earlier in the day had sent me a picture. He'd gone to a Harris Teeter. He had sent me earlier in the day a picture of the toilet paper aisle at Harris Teeter. Empty, barren, looked like a hurricane was coming or something. It was just gone. Everything was, he said the only thing in the stores that they were out of was toilet paper and hand soap. So out of curiosity, after shooting nine, so I don't know, it was like 2 o'clock, 2:30, I decided to stop at the grocery store on the way home to, I guess, pick up something for dinner, as well as to check out the situation. They still had toilet paper, but all the name brand toilet paper was gone. It was only like the generic store brand stuff, which, I mean, it does the job, I don't know. We have plenty of toilet paper, thankfully, but it does the job. So then when I get home, I go and I look up the Costco website and Amazon website. Amazon, you can get it, but it's going to cost you. Amazon, you know, some of the stuff is you can't get it until next month, shipped, things like that. So there are definite shortages because people have been stocking up. But what surprised me was that Costco, even online, now I told you last week in the store, they were empty. That's fine. I knew that was the case. But Costco online was out of stock of all of their toilet paper. All of it. Now, I called a friend of mine who happens to be a doctor living in New Jersey. Actually, he texted me and asked if I went to CPAC. We'll have about CPAC in a second. But I said, yeah, I was there for about 3 hours. I didn't really meet anybody. I didn't really talk to anybody. I'm more concerned with my wife, who was there for 2 days working. She claims she didn't interact with anybody. But then again, the jackasses who run CPAC don't bother telling anybody anything. Because if you cut a big enough check, you get protected by these people. But so I, instead of texting back and forth with my friend who's a doctor, I called him up. And I asked him, about the toilet paper. He doesn't understand about the toilet paper. It doesn't make any sense, except in the sense that there is a panic. It is a panic. I've never lived through a panic. I don't know when the last panic was, in this sense, a mass panic nationwide. The closest, I suppose, would be 9/11, just after 9/11. But realistically, just after 9/11, that was more anger for me, anger and sadness. It wasn't really a panic. The airlines had some problems, but they recovered. But in general, it wasn't a panic. I don't remember there being a rush on anything. Now, living in Baltimore, it's kind of funny, it cracks me up, living in Baltimore, D.C. area, when they predict snow, and it doesn't matter how little snow they predict, there's always sort of a localized panic. People run to the grocery store, and they do stock up on toilet paper. They do stock up on canned goods and bottled water. Like, if you're getting a bunch of snow, there's your water right there, if you really, really need it. But I've never seen anything like this where it's across the board. All the hand soap, again, at the grocery store was gone. All the non-generic toilet paper was gone. What's weird, and this tells you how irrational the panic is, and panic is in general. While they're in the same aisle, all the toilet paper is gone, right? And this was even the case last week when I was at Costco. All the toilet paper, the great wall of toilet paper, was gone at Costco. But there's plenty of paper towel. Now, I get that paper towel is more likely to clog up your toilet if you're putting a ton of it down the toilet at once. But essentially, do they not do the same thing? Unless you've got a raging case of hemorrhoids. And, you know, and I mean a raging case of hemorrhoids. You don't really, it doesn't matter what you use to wipe, as long as you use something. It doesn't matter what you use to wipe, right? Most of the time, you don't have to spend all day on there. Sometimes, hey, sometimes you got to be on there for like a half an hour going through a roll of toilet paper. But in general, if it were rational to stock up on toilet paper, to make a run on toilet paper, and it's gone right there sitting next to you, and they even, you know, have it perforated in very small strips, you can have paper towel, which will serve the exact same function. Yet people aren't buying it because people aren't thinking rationally. A, we're still making toilet paper and it will be replenished. But B, this panic overrides your logic. So you're not really thinking rationally. You've got a perfectly good substitute right there, and you're walking right past it, probably more panicked than you were beforehand because all the toilet paper is gone. And seeing that empty space in the store goes, oh my God, this is much, much worse. And so you just leave the paper towel, and you go to another grocery store. Here, I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret. All right, I don't know if I should do this, because if there is a need in the Hunter household, if we have a massive Montezuma's Revenge and go through the toilet paper that we have, here is a little heads up. Just an idea. It's a theory at this point. I haven't tested it. But as somebody who is quite good, quite adept at shopping and finding things that are needed and finding things on sale and finding things at a good price, if you have a 24-hour grocery store near you, and you can do it, you probably want to go there sometime between midnight and 6 a.m. if you're looking for something. Now, you may not always strike gold. Just depends on what comes in the truck on that day. But that is when the stores are restocked, is the overnight shift. So if it's open 24 hours, if you've ever been there, and I used to love going shopping in the middle of the night because I'm a natural night person and insomniac. But you walk around, you see pallets of things. That's when the shelves are being replenished. If you are in the need of TP, and for some weird reason, the paper towel option is not one that you're willing to accept, I recommend staying up late or getting up early, depending on your sleep schedule, and going to the store in the middle of the night. Because while the trucks come in during the day, you can't restock the shelves during the day. You've got customers around. You've got carts going on there. You take, you know, a pallet down the aisle, you set it there, and you restock, and then you go back out there. It is all done at night. So if you're in the market for toilet paper or anything, and you want to have a shot at getting something that people are panicking and buying up the second it hits the shelves, I would recommend trying that. You may have to go to a couple of grocery stores, and every night, not everything is on the truck. So it's hit or miss. It's if you're looking for toilet paper, it's a crapshoot. I'll show myself out. But I'm just saying, that would be my guess, because unless the manager is really sympathetic and people ask and it's sitting in the back and they're going to restock it at night, but if you ask nice, they'll get you some from the back, you're likely not going to have much luck looking for. I mean, you could, who knows? And also, don't forget, I don't know why this is like the most toilet paper centric show I've ever done. And I hope it stays that way. But, you know, I am a bit of an expert on these sorts of things. Don't forget all the other places toilet paper is for sale that you don't think about if you're really in a pinch. Because, well, you know, a lot of people don't stock up on things. A lot of people just buy as needed. There are 7-Elevens, there are CVS's and Walgreens and all the drug stores out there. There are also dollar stores. You're not going to get the finest quality, but if you're in a pinch and you really just need something to put between your hand and your business, the dollar store does have toilet paper. Most of them do. So be calm, carry on. And next time, once this passes and people start to calm down, or, I don't know, the first person dies when being crushed by a wall of toilet paper collapsing on them in their home, and people say, well, that's a danger. We should probably be more rational next time. Think about this. Stock up. Buy in bulk. Toilet paper doesn't go bad. But you don't need 7,000 rolls of toilet paper. You got to be a real big asshole to buy out all the toilet paper at a store. Again, I'll show myself out. I'm just a bunch of shitty jokes today, isn't it? Anyway, so that is the latest on coronavirus in the sense of a panic. There is other news, of course, about CPAC in particular, because people are getting pissed off. People who attended CPAC are getting pissed off about not knowing who in the hell this patient zero is who attended CPAC, who was coronavirus positive, who apparently there are now members of up to four members of Congress, at least as of this recording, who are self-quarantining. They are Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, Arizona Representative Paul Gosar, Florida Representative Matt Gaetz, and Georgia Representative Doug Collins. Apparently, Louis Gohmert, my buddy Louis, he's such a great guy. He was in contact with the person as well, but he is refusing to self-quarantine. We'll see how long that lasts. I imagine the pressure is going to be astronomical. But it is a mess. These people, these members of Congress, have been informed as to who this person is. There are people on Twitter who are talking about they know who this person is, but they aren't going to tell the world. They're mad that CPAC isn't telling the world, though. I'm surprised. It's harder to find out the person who at CPAC tested positive for coronavirus than it is to find out who the freaking whistleblower is. There are actual laws protecting the whistleblower to a certain extent, but we know who that person is. When it comes to patient zero at CPAC, we have no freaking clue. Nobody's telling us. Nobody's talking. I don't know why. I don't get it. We know some of the things. We know a few of the things. Apparently, he attended APAC as well. And also, well, may have attended APAC and attended a Jewish conservatives dinner on Friday night, which was segregated into two rooms. This is how ridiculous it's gotten. There was I don't think it was at the Gaylord. I think it was off-site. And there was a dinner for Jewish conservatives. And it was so big or whatever that they had it in two different rooms. And so there was a room on the right and a room on the left. Apparently this guy, in case you were at CPAC and went to this Jewish dinner, he was in the room on the right. Again, why not just name this guy? I get that he's not going to like having his name out there. But what do you think about the people who don't like getting coronavirus from this jackass? You know, wouldn't that be... don't their rights sort of, I don't know, trump, if you will, that? There's another story, another member of Congress, that Congressman Matt Gaetz, he has apparently, he's in self-quarantine. He's allegedly not showing any symptoms or anything like that, and thankfully none of these people are showing any symptoms as of yet, but there's up to a 14-day period where you could. A gestation period, whatever you want to call it. So out of abundance of caution, he is self-quarantining. Why I single out Congressman Gaetz is because when the House voted on supplemental funding for the coronavirus, the funding, the $8.5 billion, whatever it was last week, Gaetz wore a gas mask as mockery on the floor of the House of Representatives and tweeted out a photo of himself with a staffer. And there he is in his suit, in his gas mask, with his staffer standing next to him. And he tweeted out, quote, "Reviewing the coronavirus supplemental appropriation and preparing to go vote." This is just unnecessary. Okay, I think that most of what is going on here is a panic, is garbage, is misinformation. I hope I'm not wrong, but I have to give you my opinion. That's what this show is, information and then my opinion about that information. I hope that this is correct. But to make a spectacle of yourself is something different than being skeptical, than listening to doctors rather than pundits. There's a huge difference between those two things. And Gates, who has never particularly impressed me, he's had some good flourishes. He'll put together a good speech or a good round of questioning. But in general, he's always struck me, and I don't tend to be critical of Republicans, and he's wildly, look, he's way more popular than I am. I know that. And I'm probably ticking off some of you, but I don't care. This is what you come here for. He's always kind of struck me as a douchebag. Now, I've heard stories. I'm not going to repeat rumors, but I've heard a lot of stories. And usually when you hear a lot of stories, there's at least some truth to those stories. And you see people out and about, and you just get a sense of them when they're around. Some people you walk away feeling, well, yeah, you know what, that guy was pretty cool, or that lady was really nice. And some people you walk away from going, I need a Silkwood shower. I need somebody with some long brooms to scrub me down, like take off the first three layers of skin. Get me down to four layers of skin. Just get that off of me. And that's kind of what he struck me as. It's one thing to be good on TV. It's another thing to be a good legislator. There's room for both. And this is going to, again, tick off some people, but there is no better example of somebody who is good on TV, who was a waste of time as a legislator, than Anthony Weiner. Anthony Weiner was really good on TV. If you needed an attack dog, if Democrats wanted somebody to go out there and just throw the hammer down, then you sent out Anthony Weiner. It didn't matter. He was a rabid attack dog. He was quick-witted and quick on his feet, and he could turn something that would make a Democrat normally feel uncomfortable into an attack on Republicans like that. Just boom. He was excellent at it, and that makes for great TV. But if you look at his legislative accomplishments, there really weren't any. Nobody as a legislator took him seriously. He didn't have policy expertise. He didn't have particular issues that he pushed forward, at least on a national stage. You would have thought the guy was, you know, up in the power structure and leadership of the Democratic Party with as much as he was on TV on every show. It didn't matter. The Sunday shows, like the places where they tend to try to get more serious members of Congress, there was Anthony Weiner there. His association with Huma Abedin and, you know, the close association with the Clintons gave him more credibility in the Democrat media. So they put him on everywhere. But he was absolutely worthless as a legislator on the national scale. Maybe he brought home the bacon. I don't know. The people of New York reelected him, but then they reelected Bill de Blasio too. So who the hell knows? Matt Gaetz strikes me as that. What do you know him for? What is he known for? What are his issues where not only is he on board, is he a leader on? I honestly don't know. Now, during the impeachment inquiry, when it came time for him to ask his questions, he did a perfectly adequate job. There were other people who were better, but he did a perfectly adequate job. Now, when it comes to this coronavirus vote and wearing the gas mask, that kind of is what I think of when I think of him. Not just because of that, but that sort of mentality where you just go, what's going to get me the most attention? I am all for causing outrage amongst the left, but I want to do it in a way that exposes their hypocrisy, not in just a douchey way. There's a difference between tearing somebody apart rhetorically and dismantling their arguments and their positions and sitting back and calling them fat. That's what I would say the difference is. And oftentimes what the members of Congress who are on TV a lot, who love, don't get me, they're members of Congress, but they're just like everybody else. A high percentage of them, they get a taste of that attention. They get just a little taste, then they want more and they need more and they're desperate for more. And that's what Gates strikes me as. That's why you wear a gas mask down to the floor of the House of Representatives. And it comes back and it bites you in the ass because now you're self-quarantining because you met with somebody who has coronavirus. It doesn't seem all that funny now, does it? I don't think so. Anyway, you want to talk about how stupid and impressionable the public can be. This story from CBS News is really boils it down. They write, in the wake of Russian meddling in the 2016 election, Facebook and Twitter have been forced to respond to a proliferation of fake news on their platforms. And while many probably assume the bulk of that information is political in focus, trolls and bots on social media have actually been linked to the marketing of vaping products and the anti-vaccination movement and now fake cures for coronavirus. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. A quick glance at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and or TikTok will provide a slew of fake cures. Garlic, masturbation, bleach, even cocaine. Really? If you're... Prominent QAnon YouTuber Jordan Sather, for example, tweeted to his more than 121,000 followers that a, quote, miracle mineral solution, which effectively involves drinking bleach, can wipe out COVID-19, the disease caused by coronavirus. Not only, quote again, not only is chlorine dioxide, a.k.a. MMS, an effective cancer cell killer, it can wipe out coronavirus too, he wrote. Big Pharma wants you ignorant. Drinking bleach will not cure coronavirus. Doing copious amounts of cocaine while feverishly masturbating may sound like a really awesome and fulfilling weekend, but it will not cure coronavirus. That people need this said to them is a testament to the failures of our education system and to our media. The FDA has long warned that drinking chlorine dioxide products can lead to severe vomiting, severe diarrhea. That's where the toilet paper. Maybe that's why there's a shortage of toilet paper. Life-threatening low blood pressure caused by dehydration and acute liver failure. Yet with each new outbreak or high-profile illness that arises, these products are seemingly promoted on social media and sold by independent distributors anew. Sadly, drinking bleach isn't the only dangerous cure that bad actors are peddling online to a population increasingly anxious about the current outbreak. The most recent rumor spreading at rapid pace is that cocaine will counteract COVID-19. Cocaine. Yes, a little bit of booger sugar. Can you imagine? Your doctor's like, you know what? Take three lines of blow and call me in the morning. On Facebook, there was a third-party fact-checking program, and it is in place. Many of these posts now have false information warnings that serve both to warn users of the content's unreliability and to deprioritize them in the platform's algorithm. Can I just give you a bit of advice? And this, take it for what it's worth. You're free and sentient human beings, allowed to do whatever it is you wish to do. But if you are friends with anybody on Facebook who is posting things about how doing cocaine is going to cure the coronavirus, or even drinking bleach, or drinking anything that the big pharma doesn't want you to know about will cure coronavirus, you should probably unfriend them immediately. They are insane. There, I've said it. There is no cure for a virus. There are treatments for viruses. There are, you know, inoculations that you can get against viruses. We're not there yet with coronavirus, but I have no doubt that we will. But there is no magical, mystical cure. By the way, if it were, if cocaine were a cure, are you telling, because we're always told how big and powerful and massive and monstrous and evil the pharmaceutical industry is. If doing some blow were the cure, don't you think that they would find a way to monetize that and then get government permission? They'd be granted government permission to market that in a pill form or something like that. Don't you think that that would, if a bleach pill or whatever the hell this stuff is, were the cure for these sorts of things? Don't you, there's more money in the cure since there is no treatment. Since there, aside from over-the-counter things like NyQuil and Tylenol Flu and all of that, that just treat the symptoms. You have to let the disease run its course. There is no cure. If there were a cure, somebody would find a way to monetize it. More so, they would not be a small, fringy, never heard of mom and pop shop. Again, going out on a limb here, but if there were an effective treatment discovered about coronavirus, I think that even the media that is rooting for Donald Trump's demise through this thing would be forced to report on it. I think they would. So you would hear about it. So anybody who's posting this stuff on social media is either has some sort of click-through deal where they get a piece of the action and they're playing on people's fears, or they're irretrievably dumb. I don't know which it is. I don't care which it is. I'm just telling you. You're free to do what you want, but I'm telling you that if either one of those options, which seem to be the only two options, if either one of those options apply to somebody in your circle of Facebook friends, you don't even have to know them in real life, your life will be exponentially better if you cut them out of it. That's all I'm saying. Take it for what it's worth. I'm just saying your life would likely be significantly better if you cut them out of it. All right, let's move on to other news, okay? The Democratic primary vote that is today, this could be the end of Bernie Sanders. Now, I've done okay. I'm still a little bit behind when it comes to my predictit.org sort of predictions about the campaign. I made some money on North Carolina. I made some money on Massachusetts. I lost some money on tech. I parlayed that into a loss in Texas. But I've got a long shot bet. I spent $67, and I stand to win if, by some miracle, Bernie Sanders wins Michigan today. I'll win $816.70 from my 60. There's Bernie Sanders shares are 7 cents each. What are you going to do? 7 cents. You can't beat that. I threw a couple of bucks at it. It's a long shot bet. You always sit there and you go, I hate this because you play roulette and you like put it all on black and you just double your money. Well, this is, you put a little bit down and you could win quite a bit. Of course, when you do that, the odds are very much against you because for 92 cents, you can buy Joe Biden, but that will cost you. I mean, you'll only get 8 cents, 9 cents, 7 cents a share because they keep a penny per share. It's kind of interesting. Makes watching Democratic primaries less insufferable. But as the field goes to battle once again at the polls, the rest of the field is coalescing around sniffy, sneezy, creepy Uncle Joe Biden. Cory Booker came out and endorsed Joe Biden. Kamala Harris has come out and endorsed Joe Biden. Mike Bloomberg, of course, endorsed Joe Biden last week. Pete Buttigieg has endorsed Joe Biden. Kamala Harris? I don't know. Just about everybody who's left the field, with the exception of Julian Castro and what's his face? Andrew Yang. I don't think Andrew Yang has endorsed anybody yet. And Elizabeth Warren, most famously. Everybody has sort of coalesced around Joe Biden, which is why the media is in such a fervor to protect Joe Biden, to pretend that he is not suffering from dementia. That's how you get the Atlantic piece from over the weekend where they say, oh, he doesn't suffer from dementia. It's from his stutter, you see. Stutters don't cause people to forget where they are. Stutters don't cause people to forget what they're saying. Stutters don't cause people to say things that are wildly incorrect and not catch it. That ain't a stutter. That's a mental issue. But just to put a fine point on all of these people who are now coming out and they're Team Joe, and they are going to be hitting the campaign trail as fervent Team Joe Biden people. The Washington Free Beacon put together a little montage, just a minute long, of some of the, shall we say, greatest hits that these very Democrats, who are now telling you that it is a national imperative that Joe Biden be our next president of the United States, the Washington Free Beacon put together a montage of these Democrats saying something different about Joe Biden in the recent past. You'll recognize most of these voices. They're the entire field of Democrats who used to run against Joe, who were swearing to us that they were the better candidate than Joe. They would be a better president than Joe. And in fact, they need to be. They're the only ones who could defeat President Trump. Now they're saying the same things about Joe Biden. But what did they used to say about Joe? Well, here you go.
Is so, Joe Biden a return to the past?
He is. And that cannot be who we are going forward.
It was hurtful to hear you talk about the reputations of two United States senators who built their reputations on the segregation of race in this country.
Joe Biden doesn't have the experience.
He's never been a manager of an organization. The presidency shouldn't be a training job.
For a guy who helped to be an architect of mass incarceration, this is an inadequate solution.
This week I hear him literally say that I don't think we should legalize marijuana. I thought you might have been high when you said it.
I'm not Barack Obama, and neither is he. And this election is about where our country is headed next.
I come out of the black community in terms of my support. The only African-American woman that ever been elected to the United States Senate.
No, that's not true.
There are definitely moments where you listen to Joe Biden and you just wonder.
There definitely are, Cory Booker. Moments when you listen to Joe Biden and you just wonder. You have to, because he's slipping. But it's weird, Cory Booker, because while that Cory Booker guy said that very same thing, that very thing, you just heard it there, about Joe Biden, yesterday, while officially endorsing Joe Biden, Cory Booker was singing a different tune. That's kind of funny. This is how the liberal mind works. And actually, it's sad how it's becoming the conservative mind, too, at least in media. Because have you noticed, like, whenever there's an issue involving a black person in politics, well, in anything, really, but particularly in politics, that the cable companies, the news companies, even including Fox, they go out there and they we've got two people coming up to discuss this issue. You know my disdain for reaction we turn to crap. But they always bring out two black contributors to talk. Well, you know what? Jesse Jackson said something today outrageous. To discuss it, we've got two black people. That to me is racist. It's subtle. It's not, you know, violent racism, but it's subtle racism. It's acceptable racism. Actually, it's required racism if you listen to the left, because you're not allowed to have an opinion about anything if you're not directly matching to that. If you are not, you're not allowed to have an opinion on Al Sharpton unless you happen to be black. You're really not allowed to have an opinion on Al Sharpton unless you happen to be a liberal, but they couch it in race if it happens to be a white person attacking Al Sharpton. But this idea that, you know, well, we've got an issue here. Kamala Harris has dropped out of the race. We're going to have to talk about it. Can we get two black people to come on and talk about it? That, to me, is just as racist as anything else. For all the things that the left continually screams racism about. She's running to be president of, or she was running to be president of the United States, not the president of black people. So anybody who has an opinion can have an opinion about Kamala Harris dropping out of the race. That's the way I think. They're all people. That's, of course, me, I don't call me crazy, but I don't look at people based on their race. I just notice that when it's an issue related to a black person, suddenly the cable news channel turns to black people to talk about it. And then they go right back to whitey on whatever else the next issue is. It's kind of pathetic and funny to watch. Well, Cory Booker endorsed Joe Biden yesterday. Now, Cory Booker didn't just endorse Joe Biden. Cory Booker traveled with Joe Biden to Michigan because Joe Biden is campaigning in Michigan. Cory Booker didn't just travel with Joe Biden to Michigan to endorse Joe Biden. He went to Flint, Michigan to endorse Joe Biden. So you've got a black guy endorsing Joe Biden, and instead of, going to Ann Arbor, Michigan, going to anywhere else, they made sure that Cory, but well, let's get, where will it have the most impact? This is how the mindset works of the left and of politicians, really, across the spectrum. We've got this guy going to endorse us. Where would it have the greatest impact? Why, of course, in Flint, Michigan. Flint, the city governed by Democrats for generations that made a stupid decision and poisoned their water all on their own. The Democrats did. And there's a majority black city, so we'll go there because Democrats are trying to blame it on the Republicans, the screw up by the Democrats in Flint, Michigan. And, well, it's a majority black city, so if we're going to have Cory Booker, who happens to be black, endorse Joe Biden, we should do it where black people are. It's insane. It's condescending to me. I don't know. I'm part of a group that's never pandered to, or if anybody even tries to pander to me, I completely and immediately lose interest in them and walk away. But I find this horribly condescending when they do this, and they do it all the damn time. But Cory Booker, who right there at the end, sometimes you got to wonder about this Joe Biden guy. You got to wonder, he's kind of losing a step. He's kind of insane. Well, in his endorsement, he lays out a different case where Joe Biden is the light from which all good flows. And Donald Trump is the evil from which everything bad emanates. Listen to Booker's endorsement of Joe Biden and then contrast that with what Cory Booker said about Joe Biden during the campaign and ask yourself, is this sincere? Because I think the answer is no.
It's obvious to me that a time that darkness has descended, we need a president who is a light worker. We have had enough of a president that does demeaning. It's time that we have a president that does redeeming.
Yeah. Yes,
I know that this is a moral moment in America. It is a moral moment. This election is not about right or left. It's about right or wrong.
Can I get an amen? Don't you love that? I love when political endorsements of former opponents come around. Like, you never had anything bad to say. It's weird because during the campaign, you never had anything good to say about the person. Now they are the hope and the light and the future and all that is good and whole and wholesome in the universe. Donald Trump is evil. Joe Biden is good. A few months ago, Joe Biden's slipping. Joe Biden's not really all there. You got to look at him and you got to wonder. Now you want that guy with access to the nuclear button. Why? Well, probably because he wants something out of the deal, just like everybody else. It's kind of funny because there's a lot of speculation about who was getting what and who is... when Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg dropped out, there's a lot of speculation that Amy Klobuchar was maybe promised a little bit of the vice presidency, or at least a serious look as a consideration as the running mate for Joe Biden, which makes sense. She comes from the Midwest. Joe Biden needs somebody who appeals to people in the Midwest. She's a woman. Joe Biden needs it to be a woman. She's not 175 years old like Joe Biden is, so she would bring some... When your running mate would lower the average age of the ticket by like 15, 20 years, that's kind of an indication that the top of the ticket's just a little bit old. Plus, Amy Klobuchar, while she's wildly unpopular with her staff and people who know her, the people who don't know her think that she's perfectly nice and friendly. It's kind of, I'm not going to name any names, but there's a popular television host. Actually, there are a couple of popular television hosts who are known as affable or thought of as affable. Very nice, very friendly. I mean, some of them are conservative, some of them are liberal. And they have this image that's carefully crafted as just laughing on set. Oh, they have their friends. They discuss politics, and they bury the hatchet at the end of every segment, or they have dancing on their show or whatever it is. You can maybe figure out who some of these people are. But once the cameras are off, their staff freaking hates them because they are just incredibly awful people, rude to people, treat their staff like just garbage. And if you do some internet searching, you can find out who these people are. You don't need me to tell you. But it's not just right. It's not just left. It's very specific people. But the image that they portray on TV is one of just being super duper nice. And Amy Klobuchar's kind of like that. If you read what her staff has said about her, her former staff has said about her, you don't want to be anywhere near her. You sure as hell don't want to work for her. But when you see her on the campaign trail, she seems nice enough. Well, she's an affable lady. Well, her deal seems to have been at least consideration as the number two slot on the Biden ticket. Pete Buttigieg, it's unclear what his deal is, but it might have been what he just announced yesterday. He was on the Today Show or Good Morning America, one of the two. I don't know. It doesn't matter. At the end of a puffy, fluffy interview where they were propping up Mayor Pete as being this wonderful person, he announced that he's got a temp job. No, he's not going to be driving for Uber. He is going to be guest hosting a late night show. Now, I haven't watched a late night show, a supposed comedy show, in a long time. Once I stopped watching because the monologues stopped having jokes in them. They started being political speeches with applause lines rather than jokes with punchlines. That's not enjoyable to me. When Stephen Colbert started having CNN anchors on to discuss the election, nobody can make a move until you find out what Brooke Baldwin really thinks, what's going on there with Aaron Burnett or Don Lemon or whatever. It's just not interesting to me. It's supposed to be kind of a way to wind down your day. And the thing that made shows successful, and they were much more successful in the past, was that they were equal opportunity offenders. They would mock everybody, whoever it was, whoever that day deserved to be mocked. If one day it was a Republican, it was a Republican got skewered. If the next day it was a Democrat, it was a Democrat got skewered. Now people like Stephen Colbert go out there with an agenda. They are MSNBC with a live studio audience. It's pathetic. Well, Pete Buttigieg is going to fill in for one of them as a guest host. Now, how many people in the entertainment world would kill for this opportunity? How many stand-up comics out there would kill for this opportunity? But Mayor Pete, because I imagine as a favor to Joe Biden, Jimmy Kimmel said, fine, Mayor Pete can do it. Or as just a favor to Mayor Pete, Jimmy Kimmel said, fine, they can do this. But this is everything that is wrong with late night so-called comedy shows. Here's Mayor Pete announcing it on Good Morning America or the Today Show.
So what's next for you?
Well, in the immediate term, you know, we're going to be traveling a little bit, thanking supporters, and then Chas and I are looking forward to some time away. Then we'll come back, and I'll make myself useful in new ways. But we're going to have some fun first.
I was going to ask you about this, because a little birdie told me you might be hosting a late-night show.
Yeah, on Thursday, I'm going to be guest hosting Jimmy Kimmel Live. So we're really excited for that, lining up a great slate of guests. Sir Patrick Stewart's coming on. We're very excited about that.
Amy Klobuchar, she going to be a guest, perhaps?
You know, I'm hoping to catch up with her soon. But
you can do monologue and everything.
Yeah. Well, hopefully some funnier minds than mine will be doing some writing for that.
When you think comedy, you think Pete Buttigieg, don't you? Is there anything can come to mind of Pete Buttigieg going, that was pretty funny, Pete. That was remotely clever, Pete. Is there anything about this guy that doesn't seem absolutely 100% robotic? Yet there he is getting a shot at guest hosting because he is a Democrat in good standing, and Jimmy Kimmel is a Democrat in good standing. He's a tool for the Democratic Party. So why not, when you have a day off or however long he has off, why not turn your show into an hour-long piece of propaganda for the Democratic Party and give Pete, don't be surprised, Pete may not want to be vice president. Pete may be unelectable in his home state. So maybe Pete is looking to move into the entertainment world. Again, his only problem, his only obstacle is that he is in no way, shape, or form entertaining. But being a liberal in good standing doesn't, it means you get a pass. You don't have to produce. You're on the team. So he'll get a shot. Everywhere else, comedians who are killing for this opportunity are probably pissed. But they'll be called homophobes if they come out and say that they are. That is all the time we have for today. Thank you for listening, tuning in, telling a friend, doing all that good stuff. Have a great Tuesday. We'll be back with all the election results and everything else that happens between now and then on Wednesday. Have a good one.
There are definitely moments where you listen to Joe Biden and you just wonder,